Frank, if you want to come and share, a number of our number of people were able to go down to the cities on Thursday and pray with Franklin Graham for our nation and for our election coming up. And Frank just asked if he could share a few things. So, thanks, Frank.
Yeah, we were down there, and I mean, unbelievable. 6,000 of us, all praising the Lord. How would you like to see 6,000 people praising the Lord? It was great. It was great. And I was just going to, I got a little note. I usually don't have notes, but I didn't want to screw up too bad. You know, it's Father's Day, and we think of our founding fathers. And this is all Franklin Graham's quotes. I'm not from me. It's all from the Bible. Here's what it is. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7 through 14. And one thing that touched my heart a little bit, touched all of our hearts, Franklin Graham stood up there and he says, I have zero hope. Just like that. I have zero hope for the Democrats. Now, before all you Democrats or Republicans start high-fiving each other, he says, I have zero hope for the Republicans. He says, 62% of the Christians do not vote in this country. 62%. We all got to vote. I don't care. He says, if you got to hold your nose when you go to the polls, go and vote. If you don't like it, run for an office yourself. That's all that Franklin Graham, this is none of me, this is all Franklin Graham said this. And unbelievable, you know, but there was 10 of us there, and it was unbelievable. So the rotunda, I don't know if you know what the state capitol is, but it's got that big grass lawn there in front. And that was solid people. And then there was sidewalks on both sides. That was solid people. And some of us are testifying for it that were down there. But, yeah, great, great, great. I wish you all could have been there, you know. But he's hitting 50 states. He's going to every capital. I think they left from St. Paul and they headed across to the Dakotas. And then I think North and South Dakota and then they go to Montana. But great. Another thing, just as long as I'm up here, you know, you don't want to give me this. You know, last year you guys probably heard my testimony about my son and daughter and all that on Father's Day. But this year, a little thing, this morning, I told my son, I have one son left, and I told him, I said, you know, he's not born again. And I said, thanks for coming and visiting. He says, well, we're going to be together someday. I said, you have two fathers. I said, you got one up there and here. I said, I'm not going to be here. That one is. He says, well, we'll be together. I said, are you sure? I said, if you're not born again, I said, listen to me. And he's coming around. I've been working on him for about 5 years. So he's coming around. Every time I talk to him, a little bit, I mean, another little bit. So thank you all for listening, and great to talk to you.
Thanks, Frank. Thank you, Frank. I maybe should have left you up here for the next 20 minutes. How are we doing this morning?
Great.
You know, I had to give myself a little pep talk a few minutes ago, Mary, so I appreciate you stopping and praying and just saying, you know what, Lord? I just need to relax and enjoy this opportunity just to get into your word with fellow believers. And just enjoy this time. So I thank you for coming. I'm glad you're here. And I'm happy to be here this morning. And maybe my hands are shaking a little bit, but God is so good. And He is so faithful. And amen. I would recommend that each and every one of you give this a try at some point. Because there's nothing that drives you to your knees better than some fear. And Talk about helping you, encouraging you spend time with the Lord and just seeking His face. And so maybe that's a lesson I'm learning in this, but let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for You today on Father's Day, for our Heavenly Father and the love that You have for each and every one of us, the example You are on how to live. So Lord, we look to You this morning for Your blessings. Lord, for Your Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us. Lord, as we go through Your Word this morning and we hear from You, Father. Lord, I think of all the people on the prayer focus, Lord, that have lost loved ones, are in the hospital this morning. Lord, with injuries, with illnesses, Father, for cancers. Lord, for the broken marriages. All the heartaches that we go through life, Father. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness to walk with us through those this morning, Lord. Lord, that we can lift our eyes, Lord, to You this morning and have hope. Not in the government, but in You, Father. So, Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your love. We just pray we'd have a good time this morning in Your Word, in Your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles and you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 15... We're going to look at the story of the prodigal son. And even though the title is the prodigal son, this is a story about the love of the father and his love for each and every one of us. And just like when we have kids and we create human beings, we find something of value in them. And the world takes on a little bit of a new meaning for us. And the same way with God. When He created the world, and He went through and created all the different things, when He came around to creating man and woman, there was something special about that. He breathed His own life into that. And it's something that is eternal. It is something that is going to last. We are created in His image, and He's put a high value on us. And we see as we go through Scripture that there's only a few things that are going to last eternally. And we are one of those things. In Matthew 24, 35, and in 2 Peter 3:10, it talks about heaven and earth will pass away. All these things that He's created will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. So we can rely on that. We can trust in His Word. We also find many places in Scripture where it talks about being born again and having eternal life with the Father. So we also have that ability to be eternal, and we are eternal, whether we're eternally with God or eternally without God. So it's a thing of importance He has placed on us and a gift He has given us, this eternal life. And most of us have a hard time understanding that. And it brought me back to thinking about our oldest, when Molly was born, and you're walking out of that hospital and you're carrying them nowadays, you know, in a car seat, because you can't just plop them in the vehicle like in the old days and let them ride. You got to get them harnessed in just right and make sure they're safe and secure and ready to go. And you get a little different outlook on life as we're walking out. I don't know how many of you did this, but you look at your husband or your wife, and are they really letting us take this precious baby out of here on our own? You know, and that care that we have for our children, that care that we have for those precious beings that we've created with the help of God's miraculous power and His creation, are something special to us. And we are something special to God. And as you go through the whole chapter 15 in Luke there, it is God displaying and telling and teaching that we are something special to Him. Each individual person He has created is something special to Him. God holds us in high regards. And He wants to have good relationships with us. He wants us in right relationship with Him, just like we want with our kids. And just to set the scene a little bit, in verse 1 of chapter 15, you have Jesus teaching, and you have two different groups there. You have your religious groups, your Pharisees and your scribes, and then you have some other people that aren't quite so welcome to the religious group. You have sinners and tax collectors. And these Pharisees aren't quite happy about it. They're a little concerned at why Jesus is spending His time with them. So that's just to set the scene. We have these two groups in Jesus' teaching. But I want to look at verse 11. That's where we're going to start with our scripture this morning. Then He said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them to his likelihood." Now in Jewish times, the older son got a double portion. So this story is about the younger son, and he's going to get one-third of his father's belongings. And so he goes and asks for this, which is a little ridiculous, a little audacity in his asking. His father hasn't even died. I mean, we normally, even today, we look at our inheritance doesn't come until our parents are gone. But this younger son is unhappy at where he's at in life. He's unhappy with his role. He's malcontent, and he wants to go out and find something different. And so he's asked for his third before his father has even passed on. He has no right to ask this. We find ourselves in the same boat. This is a story about us. This is a story about each and every one of us as the prodigal son that has walked away from the goodness of God at times in our lives. We have given up astounding things to go into a foreign land and to think our way is best. So I think of my own children and what that would feel like. What is God feeling at this point when we come up to Him and we ask, I want my inheritance. I want my opportunity to go and do what I want to do. And God's looking at His created child and He's heartbroken. You got to imagine that He's heartbroken. I look around the room and only a few of us in here are young enough not to have kids, but most of us have kids. When our kid wants to walk away from us and say, "I don't want nothing more to do with you, I want my inheritance and I want out," it's gonna rip something out of our heart. So we have the father feeling a lot of heartbrokenness right at the moment. Verse 13. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Now, prodigal living, depending on which version you're reading out of this morning, could say loose living. It's wasteful living. It's spending your money on things that aren't going to last. It's going out just having a good time with your fleshly desires, doing whatever. You know, the Old Testament would say, whatever seems right to you. Verse 14. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine." So we see the prodigal son finding a job, finding someone he could work for and going out into the fields to feed the pigs. "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But he came to himself and said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth, and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So at the beginning of this, we see that a distant land, he goes out. Most of us kids, when we got out of the house and we wanted to do things our own way, we weren't comfortable living underneath our parents' roof to do so. We wanted to live on our own and make our own choices without our parents looking down on what we're doing and saying, that isn't right. So that's where we see him traveling into a foreign land, guilt-free. He can be guilt-free there, at least he thinks he can. Hebrews 11:25 would tell us that we can have fun in our sin for a season, but it doesn't last too long. And we see that in a short period of time here, as he goes through this, that he runs out of money. And now he's in want. Reduced to feeding pigs and being jealous of their food. Starts to realize that even his father's servants have it way better than he does right now. How many times have we been there? How many times have we gotten that far in our life where we're thinking, sin has either gotten me here, my own choices have gotten me here, bad situations in this world have gotten me to a place where I'm at the end of me. And I've got nowhere to turn. I'm looking on pig's food, thinking, I wish I had some of this. I wish I had some of this to sustain me. We have to realize this is right where Satan wants us. He wants us right there saying, defeated, thinking we got no way out. But we do see that the son remembers what he had at one time. And there's three things that we can learn from this. In the three statements he makes here, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. We can see that as a repentant heart. Right away, he's feeling sorry for what he did. And we see the repentant heart in this young boy as he's saying, I'm sorry that I sinned against you. I'm sorry that I ran away. We also see that he feels that he feels no longer worthy to be called a son. He's humbled. He's brought to that place of meekness, realizing that he is wrong. And we see the third thing. He says he's hoping that he can go back in a place of maybe begging even to say, maybe I can just be one of your hired servants. And he's hopeful of this. But I think most of us, when we get to this point, we have these feelings. Yes, we're sorry and we feel bad for these things, but are we willing? Are we willing to do what the son does here that we're going to see in verse 20? Is our pride going to get out of the way? Is our desire to go back to the world going to get out of our way? Satan's fighting against us really hard at these points. He's saying, you don't need this. Your father isn't going to take you back. He's not going to be willing to forgive you. But praise the Lord for verse 20. Praise the Lord for the power we see in verse 20. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's not the son running to his father. That's not the one who did wrong running for forgiveness. That's the father, the one who did nothing wrong, running to his son. Do you get the image here? The father saw him a far way off. The father is looking for him. The father's not just going about his business. The father is anticipating that the son will return. He wasn't just brushing him off and saying, I'm done with him. His father had hope that his son might return. It's an amazing image to me of God running to me when I've been in that place where I've turned and come back, and God runs to him. And we could look back at those three things that we saw earlier as the son's approaching. In verse 21, the father has kissed him and wept on his neck and had compassion on him. And the son says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And we see right there that he only gets out a couple of things there before the father interrupts. God is willing for the first two that we saw the son claim. He is willing for the repentant heart, for us to turn to him. He requires of this of us, not willing. He requires us to have that repentant heart, to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I have sinned against heaven and against you." He needs that from us, for that to be born again. We must come back to him with a repentant heart. And also the second one. Which is that he feels no longer worthy to be called a son. He needs that humility. That's what gets us to that point. But the third part of that, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son." God does not accept that when we get the first two right. You'll see that the father kind of interrupts here and does not let him go on. The father is willing that we would be called sons and daughters again if we get the first two right. So verses 23 and 24. Excuse me, 20. "And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Do we see this scene? He wants a celebration. When we've come back into this relationship with our Father, when we've come back to it, when we've repented, when we've had humility. But not the third part. He doesn't hold us out of the family and say, "Yeah, I'll let you be my servant." He doesn't hold us out and say, "Yeah, you can work for me. You can have the scraps, the leftovers, and be in my household. I'll take care of you." He restores him to being a son or daughter of Christ. What a vision we have of our Father, of our Heavenly Father, that He wants this for us. Some of us today have a really good view of our earthly father, and some of us had not such a good experience. But we all have this opportunity to have a heavenly father that loves us as sons and daughters, that accepts us into his family, that calls us children and walks with us day after day, that says, "You are mine," and claims us. He created us. He wants us to be with Him forever. He wishes that none should perish. None should go away from Him. He wants each and every one of us to have that relationship with Him. And we see through the rest of this chapter, I'm not going to read them. Most of you know the story that the older son, who was faithful throughout the whole time, struggles with a little bit of anger and a little bit of jealousy. But we see a father loving him too and goes out to him and says, "Son, you're still mine. You've never been away from me. You are still part of my family." And just reassures him that everything's okay and that everything that he has is still his, that his inheritance is still there also. So no matter which side of the coin we're on this morning, Whether we're that faithful servant, son, and daughter that is still there with Him, or we're one that needs to turn around and walk back to Him this morning, there is hope in having a Heavenly Father that loves us and cares for us. Just like we hope that our children, you know, I haven't had the, I don't want to call it a pleasure this morning, I pray I never go what some of you have gone through with children turning the other way and walking away from you and maybe not wanting having anything to do with you. But I've heard these stories, and I pray that never happens in my family. But what a heartache he must feel this morning if you're unwilling to come back to him. If you're letting the pride of this world, the pride in your life and the wanting to do what you want, not allow yourself to come back to him this morning. He will run to you this morning. He won't just allow you to walk, I guess I would call it the walk of shame. To walk up that driveway all by yourself, having the servants look at you thinking, here comes that troublemaker, here's that kid that ran off. God wouldn't let him do it. God wouldn't, the Father would not let him make that walk of shame. He ran to him. And God will run to you this morning if you turn to him. I want my kids to have the same kind of dad. I hope that I can learn from my Heavenly Father. You know, and as fathers, that's what we want to be for our kids. As it's Father's Day, at some point we're probably going to have to let some of them walk away. And that's got to be some of the hardest things maybe you guys have ever gone through, is letting your kids walk away from you. But are we there ready to wrap them back up and to run to our kids when they come back and say, I'm sorry, Dad? What an example we can get from our Heavenly Father this morning when our kids have messed up and went the wrong way. We can love them. We can show grace into their lives just like we've seen. I love having a Heavenly Father that will run to me. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, and that you run to us when we've made mistakes. You run to us when we come back to you, Father. Lord, thank you for that love and that hope that we have, Father. Lord, that we are your children. We are your sons and daughters, Father. Lord, I thank you for fathers today. I thank you for the role in the family, the role in the church, Father. Lord, help us to love our children, Lord, as you've called us to love them. Lord, I pray that you would go us today with your grace and your peace, Father. Lord, help your Holy Spirit walk with us, Lord, as we go through the trials of this life, Lord, as we fail sometimes for our kids. Lord, forgive us, Father. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings. Watch out for us today as we go. In your name, amen.